Well, this morning, I would like you all to take a little journey with me. So if you're comfortable, I'd like you to go ahead and close your eyes where you're seated. And if you're not, you can keep them open. But I would like you to imagine the day when you first moved out of your parents' home. Maybe you were going away to college. Maybe you're still anticipating the day that you will move out and go to college. Or maybe you were just moving out on your own, ready to start a new adventure in life. Think of the things that you packed with you, the things that you purposefully left behind. Maybe your stomach ached with excitement over the idea of living on your own, making your own rules, creating your own curfew, cooking your own food, cleaning up, or not, after yourself. But the idea of facing something new and beginning a new adventure in life filled you with excitement, with joy. Now, maybe it wasn't all joy and excitement. Maybe you had mixed feelings of fear and anxiety. Maybe it was the fear of not knowing what was ahead, the fear of not knowing if the timing was right for you, or the fear of not knowing anyone where you were going. Maybe you were afraid of your new roommate that you hadn't met. Or maybe you were simply afraid of being alone. Stepping out can be a frightening experience, but it can also be an exciting one. You can go ahead and open your eyes. A while back, I had a dream that I was in Russia, and I was at this orphanage. I could picture the windows on this building, I could picture the door, and I could see the children playing outside. Now, something you have to know about me is I have always wanted to learn to speak Russian and Japanese, neither of which language I've accomplished, and why those two, I really don't know. But when I had that dream, I woke up and I thought, someday I have to go to Russia. That dream was about 10 years ago. When Chris and I first started coming to Covenant, one of the first Sundays that we were here, I remember sitting somewhere in this area, and the Russia team had just gotten back. They had slides up here on the screen, and they were showing pictures of their trip. And I remember sitting in my seat covered in goosebumps. And when I saw the picture of the orphanage that they showed looked very similar to what I had dreamt of years ago. And I was so excited about the possibility that maybe one day I would actually get to see this place that I had dreamt of, to see the children playing, to visit this place that I only imagined in my dreams. And I'm still filled with the excitement over that possibility. This is where we find ourselves this morning. As we enter into the book of Joshua, we find ourselves filled with excitement, with fear, and with hope, as the Israelites prepare to enter into the land that they had dreamed of for 40 years. Now, I like the book of Joshua because it's like a swinging door into the Bible. It's the close of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, and it's the beginning of life in the Promised Land, what the Israelites do when they enter this land that God had given to them. So the book of Joshua begins with the death of Moses, and Joshua being called to step out in faith, to be bold and courageous, and to obey all that God had commanded, and to lead God's people into a place that they had never seen, to a place where they didn't know what they would be faced with, but they knew that God was giving them this land. Please pray with me this morning. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word this morning, as we seek to understand your desires for us and as we learn to step out in faith. Open our ears that we might hear you, our eyes that we might see you, and our hearts that we might feel you close to us. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I'm going to focus on this theme of great faith that we see throughout Joshua. We're going to explore the faith of Rahab and the faith of the Israelites, and the ways in which each stepped out to receive God's blessings. Joshua 2 is the story of Rahab. It's a powerful story because we see how God used one of the most unlikely people to advance his mission through the Bible. A pagan prostitute who had no prior relationship with the Lord. Yet by her actions, she helped God's people, and in the process of helping them, was blessed with protection for herself and her family. Now, the story's not quite that simple. Imagine that you're Rahab. Your society knows you as a prostitute. You are an outsider. Even your home, like Rahab's, was built in the outer city wall. You're an outsider. People probably don't pay too much attention to you, but you still are a part of the society that you live in. And you know that the land that you live in will be given over to the Israelites. And you know this because you've heard of their history. You heard how God parted the waters of the Red Sea and how he brought an entire nation out of Egypt. You heard how the cities of Sihon and Og were completely destroyed. And now you find yourself face to face with two Israelites who you know have come to spy out the land for their conquering. You hear a pounding at your door, and the king's men have come to your home. And they say to you, "Bring out the men who came to see you tonight." And you're faced with this decision. Do you turn them over? Or do you risk your own life to save theirs? You quickly tell the men that they left your home when the city gate was closing. And if they go quickly, they might be able to catch them. Your heart is pounding. You're shaking. And you go to these strangers that you've hidden, and you confess to them, "I know the Lord has given this land to you, and great fear has fallen on all of us, and we're melting in fear because of you." And then you tell them that you know how Sihon and Og were completely destroyed. And then you profess, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and earth below. You plead with them to make an oath that they will deal kindly with you and your family as you've dealt kindly with them. And then you let them down by a rope through your window and tell them to go to the hills and hide for 3 days. Imagine the fear of not knowing how these strangers would react to you. The fear that maybe the king's men would discover that you lied and that you actually hid these Israelites in your home. The fear of not knowing what would happen to you or your family. You're an outsider, both to your society and to the Israelites. And you risked your life in the faith that you would be spared. Now, when Rahab mentions the destruction of Sihon and Og, the Hebrew verb that's used here is taram, which means to ban or to completely destroy. So when a city was devoted to the ban, all religious items were to be destroyed, and all people devoted to their deities, to their gods, were to be destroyed. And this ban is actually referred to in Deuteronomy 20, when the Lord tells how the cities of the nation are to be treated, leaving nothing alive that breathes. Nothing. So here we see Rahab, and she's actually reminding these Israelites of this ban simply by referencing these two cities. And she's reminding them that the requirements of this ban are total destruction and even death. Yet she pleads with them, and she makes an oath with them so that her family would be safe. Now, a couple of things are taking place here. First, we see that Rahab is risking her life by stepping out in faith and making a proclamation of who God is in order to save her life and her family's. And in that proclamation, she's changed her allegiance to the God of Israel. The second thing that we see is that The Israelites have agreed to this oath. And they've told Rahab that she will not be harmed and her family will not be harmed as long as she tells no one of their business. Now, I like this interaction between Rahab and the Israelites because often when we think of the book of Joshua, we think of war and destruction because the Israelites are conquering in the land, city after city. And in this book, some people view God as a God of total destruction. Yet in this interaction with Rahab, we see that God demonstrates his mercy. And it tells us that God accepts all types of people into the people of God. And it also suggests that God showed mercy to those who joined Israel and who proclaimed faith in God. One understanding of the story is that God uses some of the most unlikely people to advance his mission throughout the Bible. If God can use a pagan prostitute, then he can use anyone. He can use me, and he can use you. This dialogue that Rahab has between the spies is one of the longest uninterrupted statements by a woman in a biblical narrative. And by her actions, Rahab became known as a woman who demonstrated great faith. And she's referenced in the New Testament for her actions in Hebrews and in the book of James. And she's even referenced in Matthew's genealogy account of Jesus. She was known for her faith. When we read further into Joshua, we know that God blessed Rahab by sparing her life and her families and bringing them into the people of God. Now, I imagine that Rahab was probably afraid, even though she had faith. I think stepping out in faith can be a fearful thing. Before Chris and I moved to Colorado, we came out here for a visit to see if this was the place that God was calling us to be. And we went over to Fuller Seminary's campus downtown, where Chris was going to be working. And we met with the staff there. And one of the people that I was talking with said to me, "Lisa, it's pretty obvious that if you guys move here, Chris is going to be working here. So what is it that you're going to be doing?" And I told them that I was looking into doing this chaplain residency at one of the hospitals in town. And I thought that was the direction that I was moving in. And it turned out in that conversation, I discovered that he was one of the people that sat in on the interviews for the residents. So I took that conversation as a sign that moving here was probably the next step for us, that God had a purpose and a plan for us, and God had a purpose and a plan for me. 1 month after moving to Colorado Springs, Chris and Malia, who was 3.5 months at the time, we were in a car accident that put us all in the hospital. And after that accident, I wasn't sure that this was the place that God wanted us. I was filled with fear. And that fear became so debilitating to me. There was 1 week, months after the accident, that Chris got home from work, and I discovered I was still in my pajamas, and I hadn't stepped 1 foot outside of our apartment all week. I was frozen in fear. I trusted that God had a plan for us and that he wanted us to be in Colorado, but that trust that I had became tainted by that accident. I didn't know at the time if I wanted to apply for the residency, and I sure didn't think I wanted to be in Colorado after that accident. I felt helpless and stuck, and I felt lost. I wanted Colorado Springs to feel like home, to be a place of joy and excitement, a place where we could plant our roots and start this new adventure in life. But it became a place of fear, and I had to fight against my own fears to make this place feel like home. And it was a long battle. Now, the Israelites, they demonstrated their faith in a slightly different way than Rahab. After 40 years of wandering, they found themselves on the edge of the Promised Land, filled with excitement to finally have a place they could call home, a place where they could settle, where they could raise their children, be with their families, be in this land that God was giving to them. But maybe they were also filled with some fear, because the Israelites were prepared for battle. 40,000 armed and ready to enter the land of Canaan. Now, while they knew that the Lord was giving them the land, they still had to fight to take it, because the people that lived there, well, they weren't just going to give it up without a fight. So the Israelites followed the Lord's instructions. They were devoted to the Taram, the ban to destroy the cities so they could inhabit the promised land. From the beginning of the book, we know that Joshua is the new leader after Moses. He's the one chosen to lead the people into the promised land, and the Israelites follow him faithfully, trusting that God is commanding him, and they will possess this land that they're being given. But before the Israelites can enter into the land, there's this large body of water called the Jordan River, and the entire nation has to get across it. So Joshua tells the Israelites, prepare to enter the land the Lord is giving them and to follow the Ark of the Covenant so they'll know which way to go. And here the Israelites are stepping out in faith in a big way, because in chapter 1, we learn that it's the men who go before the women. It's the men who are armed and prepared for battle, while the women, children, and livestock were to stay in the land east of the Jordan, where they were to remain until the Lord gave them rest from the battle. Now, we know that wars are not a quick go in and take the land kind of a process, but that battles are sometimes long, drawn-out events that can take years and years. So we see the Israelites standing on the edge of the promised land, filled with excitement and also with some fear, and now they're saying goodbye to their families. But they're trusting that God has a plan and a purpose, and God's giving them the promised land, and that they would be reunited with their families again. As Israel was prepared for battle and ready to cross the Jordan, they witnessed this miraculous sign that God was with them. In chapter 3, we read about the Jordan River. It says, now the Jordan is a flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carry the ark reach the Jordan and their feet touch the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that's the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Can you imagine the fear and excitement they might have had to cross the Jordan River, to look upstream and see all this water just piled in a heap on top of itself, and to look downstream and see the same thing and see all this water piled up? And here they are crossing on dry ground, knowing that God was with them. Imagine the comfort that they might have felt to have that sign that God was with them, especially because the Israelites hadn't actually heard from God themselves. After crossing the river on dry ground, they were finally in the promised land, a land they had dreamed of for 40 years. They set up camp, and all the men who were born in the wilderness were circumcised because they hadn't been on their journey out of Egypt. And after they healed up, the first thing they did was they celebrated the Passover in the land. And in the fifth chapter, we know that it was the day after Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. God blessed the Israelites by giving them food from the land. But remember, they didn't just receive a blessing of food. They were being brought into the promised land, and they were prepared for battle. And the first of many of these cities that they were going to battle was the city of Jericho, the city where Rahab lived. Now, the way that Israel was going to be conquering Jericho was probably not what they were expecting. Keep in mind, 40,000 men armed and ready for battle. And then the Lord tells them how they're going to get into the city. In chapter 6, we read, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. They had heard their story, remember. They knew the Israelites were out there. They knew they were coming into the land. So the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands with all its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in.'" These men were armed, and they were ready for battle. And here the Lord is telling them, "I want you to march around the city for 7 days. And 6 of these days, you're going to be quiet. The 7th day, you can blow the trumpets. And then after the long trumpet blast, everyone's going to give a loud shout. And the wall is going to come tumbling down." Can you imagine the humiliation they might have felt as they were walking around the city silently? These men who were dressed for battle. And can you imagine the people inside the city peering out on them, just watching them march around this city? You know, maybe the Israelites felt a little unsure of how they were going to conquer the city if they were marching around it quietly. Maybe they wondered if the city wall really was going to collapse. But sure enough, they faithfully followed the instructions that the Lord had for them. And after 7 days of marching, the wall of the city came tumbling down. You know, after our car accident, there were many times that I felt humiliated because of how debilitating my fear had become. It was difficult for me to tell people that I couldn't get in their car because I was afraid to ride with them. Actually, not afraid to ride with them, but just afraid to get in the car. And I was embarrassed by the times that I actually would break down in front of people because there was something that would trigger my fears, whether it was the cold or seeing another car in a lane come towards us. And I felt humiliated because I didn't want people to see in me what I perceived as my own weakness. But now when I look back at that experience, I can see the ways that I've been blessed through this. I have battle scars, both physical and emotional. But those scars remind me that God's with me. And I do believe that God has a purpose for me. And I do believe that He wants us here in Colorado. But it has taken years for this to feel like a place of home, a place of joy, and a place of excitement, because it was a long uphill battle to be here. Joshua led the Israelites for 25 years, battling city after city in the land of Canaan. And they were blessed with the promised land, the land that God desired for them, a place that they could call home after 40 years of wandering, a place where they could finally rest. What does this mean for us today? Having faith can be a scary thing. And stepping out in faith may not always look like what we had hoped for or like what we planned for. In fact, my guess is nothing ever goes completely the way that we plan it, no matter how hard we try and plan things. But God is with us, and God holds to His promises and remains faithful to us even when we question because we cannot see His plans. Faith is a gift from God, first by grace, and then by our own responses. We see with Rahab and the Israelites that as they demonstrated faith, they were active participants in this process. Rahab didn't just sit back and expect to be saved as the Israelites were coming into the city. She changed her allegiance to God and proclaimed that he's the God in heaven above and earth below. And then she followed the instructions of the spies, and she tied a crimson cord in the window that she had let them out of so they would be able to distinguish her home when they were coming into the city. And she gathered her family there in the safety of her home in the faith that they would not be harmed. And the Israelites, we know they were busy because they were battling. They had a very active role, and they were faithfully going into the land that God was guiding them into, that he was leading them into this promised land, this place that they had dreamed of. And we see them faithfully following the Lord's instructions, city after city after city, as they go into Canaan. The Lord blessed Rahab by bringing her into the people of God, giving her life and sparing the lives of her family. And the Israelites, God took them safely across the Jordan, and he brought them into the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the desert. Stepping out in faith is a process. It's not easy, and in fact, sometimes it's downright fearful. Sometimes it may feel like we're walking blindly because we can't see the plans that the Lord has for us. We may not hear his voice as we're walking. And it may feel like we're still wandering in the desert sometimes because it's hard to see the blessings when we're in the midst of the battle. But God is with us. He's with us in our struggles to be freed from depression and addiction. He's with us when life becomes so debilitating that we can't even see clearly. And he places people in our lives to help us feel like we too are crossing into the promised land on dry ground. He places people to stand beside us as we carry us when we're too weak to walk. The second half of Joshua talks about the allotment of the land and how the land is divided amongst the 12 tribes of Israel, and then it is the beginning of what they do in the land. And when I look out at my covenant family, I can see the many ways that we use the allotment of our land or the blessings that God has given us. I can see with our home group the ways that we've stepped out in faith together as we walk with one another through some pretty joyful times and also some pretty challenging times. I can see the many ways that we continue to minister through things like Mission Lit, Mercy's Gate, Operation Christmas Child, and the ways that we continue to reach out and do things like beginning a community garden and becoming creative with the things that God has blessed us with. Stepping out in faith looks differently for each of us. Maybe for some of you who are fairly new to Covenant, it's making that decision to come to church again. Or maybe it's deciding to attend your small group or join a home group. Maybe it's volunteering with a ministry. Maybe you're praying about a job transition. Or taking a step in faith to let someone know that you're hurting and you need help. Stepping out in faith is different for each of us. For me, Russia is one of my places to step out in faith. It's a place that I've dreamt of for a long time. It's a place that I've prayed about and hope that one day I will be able to see this place, this land that I've dreamed of, these children that I've seen in my dreams. And it's a place where I'm still learning how to step out in faith, wondering if the timing is right. It can be a scary journey, but God is with us. And we know this because he sent Jesus to be among us. And after Jesus' ascension, he sent his Holy Spirit, who continues to be among us today. Faith is a gift. And God has given us that gift to move forward, even when we stand still in fear. And he desires to bless us and to bring us into the promised land. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who desires to be with us and to bless us. We pray that you would help us to step out in faith as you guide us. And we pray that just as you guided the Israelites into the promised land, that you would be with the leaders in the Middle East, guiding them through their long and challenging journey. Lord, we pray for this time that we are here to worship together. We pray for the offerings that we're about to receive, to give. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to be with us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.